I don't know that anybody has ever sincerely said to me, if you really loved me, I kind of think Maisie has, somewhat joking. If you really loved me, Daddy, I wouldn't have to do my homework, or you'd buy me this thing, or I could stay up. We can't always say yes when someone we love asks us for something. And sometimes we have to say no to someone we love. When you are on the receiving end, it is much easier to feel love, feel loved, when the answer is yes. I mean, when we are praised, when we are given a gift, when we get to do something we want to do, we feel loved. It is less easy to feel loved when someone is challenging us, correcting us, or dare I say, punishing us. When we are not given what we ask for. No, I don't think you can go. No, I won't buy you that. And yet we know, as hard as those answers are, that that can still be love. I suggested last week that what stands out in Luke can be summarized by these two words: Jesus cares. Now, what I have in mind, what I think, those of you who remember, it was my daughter Maisie who suggested that this is what makes Luke stand out from the other Gospels, that Luke cares. What we have in mind, I think, is just this vast array of characters that Luke presents us with. And the other Gospels, it seems narrower, the number of people, and the concerns seem elsewhere. But Luke presents us with all sorts of different people, and Jesus meets each one of them and in different ways. Jesus doesn't always come across as nice in these stories or as wonderful. Jesus confronts, Jesus corrects, Jesus warns, Jesus makes people aware of sin and challenges. And we might even take a step further back and remember that and acknowledge that God allows terrible things to happen in each of our lives and in this world. God, if you really loved me, would you let this happen? If you really loved me, would you say these words to me? Many of the Psalms ask this very question. God, why are you confronting me? My life is short enough. When you are with me, God, I feel so guilty. Turn away from me. And why have you let this happen to me? In our story this morning, it might be easy to miss that for Peter, meeting Jesus was not an entirely pleasant experience for him. It was a miracle, it was incredible, but for Peter, clearly we see from his reaction that this was not a pleasant experience. The crowds are pressing in, we are told by Luke, pressing in to be near Jesus. This person who is healing and forgiving and teaching with such wisdom, but Peter's response is, go away. Let's look at the story. Note that Luke tells us that Jesus and Simon Peter have already met at this point. If you turn back a page or scroll your phone back a bit, in chapter 4, verse 38, what you'll see is that Jesus had gone to Simon Peter's home. And Simon's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, was ill. And Jesus, we are told that they told Jesus, and Jesus came and healed her. And then Luke implies in the story that Jesus stayed and ate with the family. Now we come to this story. Peter and his partners had worked all night long. Now they were cleaning and caring for their gear, presumably before heading home to get some rest. Their workday was almost over, And then Jesus interrupted. He stepped into Jesus' boat. Now, we aren't told anything about him asking. We aren't told anything about any sort of interaction. Just that these men have been working all night. They're cleaning up their gear. And Jesus steps into their boat and says, take me out from shore so I can speak to the crowds. And then Jesus began to teach after they took him further out. Now, what was Peter thinking as he sat and listened for who knows how long to Jesus teaching the crowds? What was playing through his mind? Was he happy? Was he enjoying this? Was he thinking, Jesus' teaching is unlike anything else I've heard? Or was his mind somewhere else? When Jesus finished teaching, and only Luke tells this story, when Jesus was finished teaching, he said to Peter, take the boats out further into deep waters and cast your nets into the water. I don't know how many of you have interacted with tradespeople over the years. And I wonder how many of you think have had the experience where they really appreciate advice from amateurs and hobbyists. Oh, that's what I should do, is it? Thank you. Thank you so much. Maybe the one thing a tradesperson likes less than receiving advice from a stranger is getting advice when everything else has gone wrong up to that point. They had caught nothing, and here is someone who thinks they know better. Take your boats out again. Drop your nets into deep water. Peter could have just said nothing, taken the boats out. Peter could have just said, no. He could have said yes. But he seems to try to waffle, to vacillate here. He says, Master, did he mean that? You know, sometimes you hear Jesus' opponents saying, sure. Master, we have worked all night long. We have caught nothing. And then he says, but if you say so, you know, parents use this line, well, if that's what you really want. Is he saying, I just want to be clear that this is not my idea. This is your idea. Now, when this doesn't work, are you sure you want us to do this? Peter knew Jesus already. He had heard Jesus teach, the same teaching that was drawing crowds and crowds of people pressing in on him. Peter had already seen Jesus heal his mother-in-law. Do you think that was the problem? Maybe he didn't like her. Is that what? Whatever the reason, Peter does not seem eager to obey Jesus in this moment. But when they do, the version that we read says they were amazed at their catch of fish. They were amazed. Now, we use that word amazed somewhat casually, saying, wow, that's really amazing. And we mean something somewhat surprising, something nice, something pleasant. Oh, that's really amazing. Cool. In the Bible times, this word is often much stronger than that. Amazed is used often when what we would call spiritual forces are clearly at work around people, leaving them uncertain of what is going on and what is about to happen to them. We might use the word awe. They are stunned. They are maybe unsettled. Peter's amazement drove him to his knees. That should alert us to the force of amazed. And Jesus' words are also a clue. Seeing the amazement of the fishermen, Jesus said, don't be afraid. They were stunned. They were shaken. And Peter bowed down to Jesus' knees and he exclaimed, go away from me. I don't want us to lose the force of that, those words with everything else that follows. What is something dramatic is happening inside Peter? Go away. It's not too often we hear people say that in the Gospels, much less from someone like Peter. He says, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." Something has happened here. Other people in the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, are confronted by Jesus, and their sin is exposed. Everybody in the crowd can see what's going on. Oh, you are filled with jealousy. Oh, you love money. Some people turn their lives around in that moment when Jesus confronts them. But others, as we know, reject him and deny what's happening within them. Something about this miracle, unlike the previous miracle he had seen, unlike all the teaching that he had heard, something about this miracle made Peter realize something about himself and about God. Somehow Jesus' words were having such an impact on the crowds, they hadn't reached him. Somehow that first miracle hadn't touched him. Maybe he'd been rolling his eyes during Jesus' preaching. But something about this moment was different. Let's remember back what Luke has already prepared us for. He's already told us this would happen. If you remember Simeon's words, the priest, who took Jesus in his arms and blessed him, and he said to Mary and Joseph, "This child is going to reveal the inner thoughts of many. Some will oppose him. Some are going to claim, 'I'm Jewish. I'm a son of Abraham. Of course I love God. Who are you to challenge me?' Just as today, some will claim, 'I'm a Christian. Of course I love God.' But Jesus exposes their inner thoughts. And when we meet Jesus, he exposes our inner thoughts. What is it that we truly love? What is truly going on in our hearts and minds as we listen to Jesus teach? I think that is exactly what happened to Peter in this moment. Luke doesn't tell us what it was going through Peter's mind or what was going through his heart, and it isn't any of our business. But something was there. Something was going on. Peter could have responded like others will. Bitterness, resentment, denying, refusing to listen to Jesus. He could have argued, he could have rejected and walked away. He could have just been sad and dejected and again walked away from Jesus, as others will. But Peter chose something else. Peter chose in that moment to confess his sin. Now we know very well, this is the beginning of the Gospels, Peter did not understand who Jesus was. Peter didn't have a full understanding of what was going on, and he didn't wait until he had all the answers. Something happened here in his heart and mind, and he knew it was God at work, and he said, "What should I do?" He took a step of faith into God's mercy. Jesus said, "Follow me." And Peter left everything and followed Jesus. Would it be better if Jesus showed up in every one of our lives with red roses and a box of chocolates? If he really loved us? He does. He does love us. But he doesn't show up this way always in our lives. And he doesn't show up this way always in the Gospels. But I still offer you this phrase, "Jesus cares," as a way of interpreting all of the words that take place in Luke. Even the "woe be to those, to you, even you brood of vipers," to interpret those harsh, seemingly harsh words as coming from a man who knows that God loves each one of these people, and that God has a purpose for each one of these people. In every instance, through Jesus, God is trying to reach people and to show them the way towards fullness of life. Some respond to Jesus' seemingly harsh words with faith and repentance. Peter models that for us. Words that somehow this action was uncovering things that was causing Peter deep pain. But he responded with faith and repentance. Others, after Jesus' gentle parables, will reject Jesus. I also offer Jesus' love, Jesus' cares as a way of interpreting your life. All of the hardships, all of the hard times, all of the times where things you know are probably not going to get better. But God and Jesus cares. He is leading us through these things for God's purposes to bring us into life. Peter humbly provides us with a model. He stopped in that moment. He recognized God's presence and God's work. And he responded in faith. In all of the moments when you feel guilt and shame, may you know that Jesus cares and that Jesus is leading you towards life. In all of the hardest moments in life, when things are not working out, may you know that God is leading you into life. And in all the wonderful moments, when your nets are overflowing and breaking with abundance, may you know that this is the work of God in your life, that He is trying to draw you closer to Him, make you right with one another, right with Him, and right with all creation. May we respond with faith and follow Jesus, to whom be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.